Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence among us today, those of you who are here in person and all of you joining us online. We have just a few announcements. There's more than one way to skin a cat, right? We'll see if that'll work a little bit later. So we have a few announcements this morning. The silly event that was scheduled for this afternoon at Dan Nicholas Park, sadly no one signed up for it, so we will not be having that this afternoon. The Fellowship Committee is meeting at 4:00 tomorrow to plan out some of its upcoming events, including providing some refreshments for the baptism of Maddie Everhart in a couple of weeks, and planning our... There we go. Okay. Go. Okay. I didn't know there was a way to turn it on or off, but I guess I found it out. So the other thing they're going to be thinking about that we hope you will be making plans to attend is the 5th Sunday potluck in October, which will also be on Reformation Day. Tomorrow night, the Lutheran Men in Mission meet at 6:00. We have started our grief support group. It met last Monday to talk sort of preliminarily about what folks want and need the group to be and when and how often we will meet. This week, we are going to meet for fellowship and food on Tuesday at 4:30. And then after all of that, we're going to make our way to Bull City for beer and hymns, where the Holly Grove Singers are leading. Which I think will be a lot of fun. Hopefully you all can join us. But then all of the Mondays in October, the grief group will meet on Mondays in the office. No, we're gonna meet here because Jonathan Hedrick is on a knee scooter for a while, so he can just zoom on up the ramp. But we'll be meeting on Mondays. And then, like I said, I hope that all of you can join us this Tuesday at Bull City at 7 for beer and hymns. It's a really fun time and a very Lutheran thing to do, right? Luther loved beer, and he often would go hang out in pubs and drink some beer and sing hymns and talk about the Bible and Jesus. So we are just living more and more into our Lutheran identity. We have a prayer shawl. Carol, if you'll pick up the prayer shawl. I'll stay here near the mic, but you'll pick it up and hold it while we pray. This is a prayer shawl for Aubrey Pope, Maddie's 4-year-old sister who broke her arm yesterday. Maddie called me last night wanting a prayer shawl. And so we are going to bless this and send it off to her. After we pray, we'll send it around through the congregation. God, we thank you that you hear us every time that we come to you in prayer. And today we want to pray for Aubrey, who broke her arm last night. Accidents happen, but even when it's an accident, it still is hard. And so we pray that you would be with her over these next few weeks as her body heals and as she has to adapt to the different activities that she can and can't do with her cast. We ask that she would feel the love and care that we have for her here as she wraps herself in this prayer shawl. May she know that she is loved by so many people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who is eager to forgive and who loves us beyond our days. Amen. Dear friends, let us together acknowledge our failure to love this world as Jesus does. God of mercy and forgiveness, we confess that sin still has a hold on us. We have harmed your good creation. We have failed to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with you. Turn us in a new direction. Show us the path that leads to life. Be our refuge and strength on the journey. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and friend. Amen. Beloved of God, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven and you are made whole. God points the way to new life in Christ, who meets us on the road. Journey now in God's abiding love through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Let us pray. O God, rich in mercy, you look with compassion on this troubled world. Feed us with your grace and grant us the treasure that comes only from you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The psalm for today is Psalm 146. It will be said responsively by whole verse. Hallelujah. I will sing praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God while I am being.
Put not your trust in rulers.
In mortals in whom there is no help.
When they breathe their last, they return to earth.
And in that day their thoughts perish.
Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help. Who made heaven and earth, the seas, and all that is in them.
Who keeps promises forever.
Who gives justice to those who are oppressed, and food to those who hunger.
The Lord sets the captive free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down.
The Lord loves righteousness.
The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord shall reign forever.
Your God is mine throughout all generations. Hallelujah.
The New Testament lesson is from 1 Timothy 6, chapter beginning with verse 6. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take the hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandments without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, it is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who has richly provided us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up themselves the treasure of good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Word of God, word of life.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus told this parable. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received good things and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us is a great chasm that has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them so that they will not come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Hi, Kate. Hi, Cameron. Hello, Sawyer. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. So in our church, the big church, the ELCA, they have come out with a new book of hymns. And this is just the leader's edition. But it's called All Creation Sings. So that's our new hymnal. And I wondered if you guys could help me think about that a little bit. All creation sings. I wonder why they would have named our new hymnal that. Why do you think, Sawyer? You're not sure? Well, you know, our psalm today talks about how we praise the Lord. But did you know there are a lot of other psalms that talk about all of creation praising God? There are. And it makes sense, right? Because in the New Testament, it talks about Jesus loved the whole world, the whole creation. God loved the whole world and the whole creation so much that God sent Jesus to redeem us and to save us. Not to judge us, but to save us. And so Jesus' salvation isn't just for humans, it's for the whole world. Just like our praise isn't just from humans, it's from the whole world. And so I thought you could help me think about how some of these parts of the world praise God. So one of the ways that we praise God is by singing. Sometimes it's by words that we say. But how do you think, so these come from other psalms, how do you think the sun praises God? How do you think the sun praises God? Do you have any ideas, Cameron? How about the stars? How do the stars praise God? When it's dark and they shine bright, they're praising God. Yeah. How about the waters in the ocean? How do the waters in the ocean praise God? Yes? That's when they do it, but can you think of how they do it? How do does the ocean and the rivers and...
How do they move?
How do they praise God? Can you think of how the oceans and the waters praise God? Maybe by making waves? When the ocean moves? Absolutely. How about this one, the trees? How do the trees praise God?
When they blow in the wind.
The funny thing about all these things is that they all praise God, but we humans are the only ones that use word. All of these other things in creation, they praise God just by being who they are. The trees praise God by blowing in the wind. The water praises God just by moving and making waves and trickling around. The sun praises God just by shining, just like the stars praise God by shining. How about we all up here have dogs. How do you think our dogs praise God? Let's see if Cameron, how does Cece praise God? Maybe when she runs, or when she barks, or when she protects you and Kate? Yeah, just by being who they are, all of these different parts of creation praise God. How does Bella praise God, Sawyer? How does Bella praise God, do you think? By playing? And I think maybe that's one way that we can praise God, by playing. So can we pray? It's okay. They're here and that is just fine. They don't have to sit still or do, or even listen. It's okay. Can you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for the whole world. Help us to see all around us that your world praises you. Help us to praise you too with our words and with our playing. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You may go back to your seats or to go play with all the toys in the nursery. I love it. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have been excited about today all week long. As you all know, Sundays are my favorite days of the whole week because I get to see all of you and give many of you hugs. And today was extra special because we had confirmation, and I love these girls and spending time with them and hearing their questions. They stumped me this morning. I'm going to have to think about something for the next couple of weeks so I can answer it when we get back together. So you did it. You stumped the pastor. But something else I've been excited about for today is we are singing one of my favorite hymns. And I don't know if you ever feel this way when you get the bulletin in your email inbox and you kind of scroll to see what's going to happen in the service, and maybe one of your favorite hymn pops up and you just, oh my goodness, we get to sing it together. I sing Canticle of the Turning, which is our hymn of the day, in my car all the time. I've got several different versions on my phone that I sing to. So if you see me bebopping down the road, chances are that might be one of the songs I'm singing to. But it's one of my favorite hymns, and although I sing it a lot, oh my gosh, I can't tell you what it does to my heart to sing it together. This was one of the songs that we sang at my ordination. It was one of the songs that we sang at my installation. And it's one of the songs that will also be sung at my funeral someday. It is truly one of my favorite songs for a lot of reasons. I love the melody, and to hear it on the piano, Judy knows all the words of what makes the melody so beautiful, but to hear it, oh, it just speaks to my heart. You may or may not know this, but the Canticle of the Turning, our hymn of the day, is a modern version of Mary's Magnificat. You know, the song that she sings when she goes to visit Elizabeth after she's found out she's pregnant with Jesus. She greets Elizabeth, and Elizabeth greets her, and the child in her womb leaps with joy. That is, John leaps with joy in Elizabeth's womb just at hearing Mary's voice. Elizabeth tells her that truly that you are blessed among women, and the fruit of your womb is the Mighty One. And Mary breaks forth into this song that we know as the Magnificat. But as we talked about in confirmation, sometimes when we read the Bible, the words don't always make sense. Kind of like, do you remember reading Shakespeare in high school? And you know it should mean something, but it just takes a little bit to wrestle with those words and figure out what it means. Sometimes that's true with things in the Bible, right? How many of you use thee and thou in everyday speak? Or how about in the Lord's Prayer, who art in heaven? How many of you use art as a verb in your daily life? Right, some of these churchy things are still kind of stuck in a little more antiquated language, and so we don't always understand what the Magnificat meant back when Mary originally sang it and when we read it today. So this hymn that we're going to sing after the sermon is a modern version of that hymn that might help us understand a little more about what Mary is proclaiming. Right, it's a song that's proclaiming that God's ways are not human ways. God's ways are not the ways of the world. Because God lifts up the lowly, not the powerful. God doesn't care about the famous ones and the well-to-do ones. God cares about the poor and those on the margins. And so when Mary is singing this song, it's actually quite subversive, just like it is when we sing it. Right? Even in her own life, she is an example of how God is turning the world around and how God is turning the world upside down. God didn't choose a royal princess who had a lot of money who could give Jesus a proper home and a proper upbringing. No, God chose this young girl who was 13 or 14 years old, living in poverty in Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? It is this young girl that God uses to grow and carry his son, to birth his son and raise his son to be the savior of the world. So I love this song about God turning the world upside down, and we'll sing some of these lyrics in just a minute, but hear this one. The hungry poor will weep no more for food they can never earn. There are tables spread, may every mouth be fed. The world is about to turn. And then my favorite, the chorus, let the fires of God's justice burn. Oh, I love that image. And may God wipe away all the tears because the dawn is drawing near, that the world is about to turn. In Jesus, God is turning the world around. God is turning the world upside down. Right? Mary prophesied these words about Jesus turning the world upside down in Luke chapter 1. A little bit later in Luke, when Jesus offers his mission statement that he is here to preach good news to the poor, to let the oppressed go free, he's also giving us an indication that his mission isn't what people thought his mission would be. His mission is not keeping things the way they are. His mission is turning the world upside down. So Jesus makes all of this very clear. And today we're hearing a story about a rich man and Lazarus. Now, the things that Jesus is sharing, both in today's gospel lesson and in the whole book of Luke, which we've been spending our time in the last few Sundays, Jesus is emphasizing things that we already know to be true about God. God cares for the poor. God cares for those on the margins. God cares for all people. Did you know that more than 2,000 times in Scripture, God's care for the poor and justice for the poor is mentioned? More than 2,000 times.
Now, some Christians like to get bent out of shape about some issues and cite different verses, but I don't hear too many Christians getting bent out of shape about the poor among us and how people are suffering around us and citing more than 2,000 verses about how God cares for the poor. I find that interesting because Jesus, in his ministry, reminds us that God cares for the poor and that we too are to care for the poor. So today, as we read about the rich man and Lazarus, Jesus is kind of summing up for us what we've heard about in Luke so far. He's reminding us that his mission is to care for the poor. He's reminding us of the words that we hear in Mary's Magnificat, that the hungry will be fed and the lowly will be lifted up. He's reminding us about the story of the Good Samaritan that we read a few Sundays ago, where it wasn't the religious ones that helped the man who was suffering, or the religious ones who deliberately walked to the other side of the road in order to avoid caring for their neighbor. But it was an outsider, an enemy of the Israelites, that cared for the man, that showed mercy, that showed God's undeserved generosity and compassion and love for the one who was suffering. Jesus reminds us in his actions about the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin, where we heard Jesus telling us about God's love for the lost ones, for the sinners and the tax collectors, that Jesus came for those who others exclude and who others don't want to have a seat at the table. We heard in those parables about God's boundless love, always pursuing the ones on the outside. We've heard Jesus say twice recently that faithful discipleship looks like hating the ones that are closest to us. And we've talked about how hate in Jesus' time wasn't an emotion word, but it was more of a logic word. And what Jesus is really saying is that God wants our complete devotion, and God wants us to love God more than even those we are closest to. And we heard something kind of similar, but a little bit different last week when we heard the parable of the lost manager, how God, again, wants our complete devotion, and God wants us to love God and be devoted to God more than we love our stuff and more than we love our money. God wants our complete devotion. God wants us to love God with our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength, with all of who we are and all that we have. We've been learning about all of these things in Luke week after week after week, and Jesus is building and building and building on his mission statement that he has come to bring good news to the poor and to set the oppressed free, that the hungry will be fed, the lowly will be lifted up. So in some ways, this story that we read for today is like a summary or a culmination of all that we've been hearing these last few Sundays. It's more reminders of how Jesus is turning the world upside down. So one example is, in all of the parables that Jesus tells, only one character is ever given a name, and that character is Lazarus in today's parable. Jesus doesn't give a name to the rich man. Jesus gives a name to this poor man who is dropped off at the gate, who wants something to eat so bad that he doesn't even want the food on the table. He wants part of the crumbs that come from the table. He's covered in sores and is so sick that he can't even move when the dogs come to lick his sores. It is this person that Jesus gives a name to, reminding us that every single person bears the image of God. And it is this man that Jesus reminds us of that, and Jesus gives him dignity by giving him a name, reminding us of God's deep compassion and deep love for the poor. The rich man
is an example of one who has heard about God, Moses and the prophets. He likely went to worship in the synagogue regularly, but he never lived it. He never took on God's love and care and concern for the poor. And we see that in his life, he excludes the ones that God wants to include. He saw Lazarus every day at his gate. And lest we think he didn't, when he's in Hades, he knows Lazarus's name. He knows who he is. He's an example of someone who excludes the ones God wants to include. He is an example of selfishness and greediness. He thought he owned all that he had. He didn't understand that he was a manager and he was to steward all that God had given him. He saw someone who was hurting and suffering, someone who was hungry, and he ignored him. He walked right by. He chose not to show mercy. He loved his money and his stuff more than he loved God. He would have heard at worship how God loved the poor, how God was turning the world upside down, but he didn't want any part of it. Instead, he used his power and his wealth to not follow God and to not serve his neighbor. He committed what they call sins of omission. He sinned in the things that he did not do, in the things that he left undone. I need to pause here and say that this parable is not a literal understanding of what happens in the afterlife, right? This parable is not meant to be taken literally. And look at what we as Lutherans believe. That in our baptism, we receive the gift of eternal life. I say this often, right? Eternal life doesn't begin for us the moment we take our last breath and enter into the fullness of God's presence in our death. Our eternal life begins the moment we are baptized. And then we spend our whole lives and our whole death in eternity. And so when we are baptized and given that gift of eternal life, we also believe that Jesus will return. And when he does, God's kingdom will fully and completely be on earth. So that when Jesus comes again, the hungry poor will weep no more. That the eternal life that we are baptized into and receive in our baptism continues forever. And we've already entered into it. And when we are baptized, we are clothed with Christ, meaning throughout our lives, we are to grow more and more into Jesus and be more and more like him so that our character will look more like his. Our life will look more like his. Our heart will look more like his. Our values will look more like his. We will love who he loves and care about who he cares about, that we will be concerned for those who Jesus is concerned for. And so in our baptism, so many things happen. And hopefully in our lives, we continue to grow into all the things that begin at the font. We hope and pray that as we grow more and more into Jesus, we will become less and less like the rich man and more like Jesus, who cares for the poor, who loves who God loves, who is turning the world upside down. We pray that in our living, God's kingdom will be furthered, that God's love will be made known in all that we do, that God's generosity will be made known in how we live, that God's mercy will be seen in our actions. May it be said of us like Mary, that our hearts will sing and our lives will proclaim the day that God brings, because God is turning the world around. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us say what we believe with the use of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As scattered grains of wheat are gathered together into one bread, so let us gather our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of God's good creation. O God, rich in mercy, fill your church with righteousness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Empower the baptized by your Spirit to be rich in good works and ready to share. God of grace, protect the earth and its creatures. Provide water, food, shelter, and favorable habitats, especially for endangered species. God of grace, increase justice in nations, local governments, and courtrooms. Guide lawyers and those who hold public office to act with compassion and discernment. God of grace,
hear our prayers.
Give food to the hungry. Set the captives free. Lift up those who are bowed down. Watch over the stranger. Tend to those who are in need of healing, especially Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Latifa, Carrie, the family of Joe Hedrick, Boyd, Chip, Mike, Scott, Neil, and our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we are now naming aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Stir us to act in the best interests of our neighbors. God of grace, enliven our praise. Inspire musicians, artists, poets, all create beauty in this place and in the world. God of grace, Enfold the saints who have died in the arms of your loving care. Grant your holy angels accompany us and bring us to eternal life.
Thank you.
And with them in the light of your presence. God of grace.
Our prayer. Gathered together in the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, gracious God, we offer these and all our prayers to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
gracious God, in your great love, you richly provide for our needs. Make of these gifts a banquet of blessing, and make us ready to share what all in need through Jesus Christ, who sets the table for all. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also
lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, you have brought us this far along the way. In times of bitterness, you did not abandon us, but guided us into the path of love and light. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor has become your own cry. Our hunger and thirst for righteousness, for justice, is your own desire. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen servant to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, giving it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, blessed it, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we await the day when Jesus shall return to free all the earth from the bonds of slavery and death. Come, Lord Jesus, and let the church say amen.
Amen.
Send your Holy Spirit, our advocate, to fill the hearts of all who share this bread and cup with courage and wisdom to pursue love and justice in all the world. Come, Spirit of Freedom, and let the church say amen.
Amen.
Join our prayers and praise with your prophets and martyrs of every age, that rejoicing in the hope of the resurrection, we might live in the freedom and hope of your Son. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ invites you to this table. Come, Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of the abundant table, you have refreshed us in this meal with bread for the journey. Give us your grace on the road that we may serve our neighbors with joy. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with mercy and grace. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Love your neighbor.